Say amen. You may be seated. Once again, we are grateful to the God of heaven for having blessed us with just one more day. Amen. I woke up this morning giving thanks to God Almighty. One of the reasons is because I was still here. Another reason I thanked him because I was able to recognize I was here. And so I just want to let you know that our God is alive. And he lives in us. Amen. Amen. Psalms, division 103, verse 1. The Bible is a constant reminder. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Look what he does. He forgives all of our iniquities. Then he heals all of our diseases. Then the Bible says he lifts us out of the pit, shows us compassion and love. And then, I love this point, the book says he gives us the desires of our hearts so that we might be renewed as the wings of an eagle. Interesting, I had been quoting that for some time. Do you not know that the wings of the eagle are constantly under renewal?
Yes, sir.
And thank God they have to be so that they can continue to soar the way that they do. It's a natural process, the molting process of the feathers of a bird that allows the old ones. The used ones to be removed just in time for the new ones to continue to fly. Powerful text. Never forget the goodness and the graciousness of God. Now, I'm already in preaching mode. I've been preaching already, so I'm ready to go. Luke chapter 4. We've been working on the Holy Spirit. Is that not right? The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus says, is upon me. And we've just been hanging out there. And our objective is clear. We are wanting the Spirit of God to take up residence in our lives. Amen? That needs to be a commitment from every believer. And now, whether you know it or not, for those of you who have obeyed the gospel, and let me be clear about this. For those who have received Jesus as Savior through the obedience of the gospel, having been baptized into Christ, you received a gift. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, God gives his Spirit. Look what God does. He gives you his Spirit. And you need to know something about that Spirit. It's not a dead spirit. It's a living spirit. I want you to understand that. Too often we hear what the text says, but we don't embrace it. He didn't give us a dead spirit. You know why? Because the process of being reborn is about new birth. Amen. Amen. He didn't steal birth, none of us. Amen. Amen. We came out of the spiritual womb having been given life. But not just physical life, but eternal life. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 10, the thief comes only but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and life abundantly. So we are living, amen. Matter of fact, Peter says we are lively stones. Amen, living stones. And you need to know that because I know sometimes the presentation of the body of Christ appears to be quite dead. And listen, this has nothing to do with your emotions. Feeling what God has done had nothing, but that's a cognitive thing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Devoid of that, you have no life. Sometimes you can be a religious participant and you're just consuming up oxygen. So we don't live for Sunday. We live every day of the week. Sunday is connected to the process. So guess what's been going on throughout this past week? The Spirit. Been working with Vincent through the Word. Amen. And guess what he's been doing? He's been working on my mind. I don't know about you. You need help with your mail. I need help with my mind. So God works on the mind through the Word. And this is important because a lot of folk are denying the Spirit, and then there are folk who are claiming to have it, but it's not evident. And there is never a time when the Spirit is not evident, that is, observable, demonstrative, being worked out in the life of the believer. So it's no accident when Jesus begins to talk about his ministry, he starts out with the Holy Spirit. And quite often we start out with a ministry devoid of the Holy Spirit. And you wonder why it fizzles out. You ever wonder why you fizzle out?
Come on, man.
The Spirit, listen, the Spirit doesn't fizzle out. Now, the human body gets tired. Everybody get tired? You ever get weary? You ever become, you know, just wore out? You know, but the Spirit of God don't get wear out. It don't wear out. Amen. That's why the psalmist would say, he restores my soul. Amen. Notice the restoration process is not in you. It's not in me.
Right.
You can't fill up you.
That's
why you have to take your car to the service station.
That's right. Uh-huh.
When it runs on empty, when the light come on, that's a sign.
Yes.
That's a sign. And they got a computer system now to tell you you got 20 miles left.
Uh-huh.
And some of us don't believe it, so we got to get down to the 19th mile. And then some of y'all didn't figure out that electronic stuff really ain't working, that if you just watch that lever go below the line, if you don't get to the red and below, you got five more miles. Some of y'all are doing your spiritual life like that. So now you're driving and you're hoping. You're hoping that you still got some vapor left. Let me tell you something. Don't let Satan suck all the vapor out of your life. Keep your tank full. Amen. Sunday is about what you've been putting in Monday through Saturday. That's why I believe Sunday ought to be a celebration. Celebration of the presence of God's Spirit in the life of the church. Why? Because we become a witness to the world. The world looks at us. What do they see? Do they see a people that's been transformed in their character? In their conduct, or in their conversation, or do they see a folk that's all their life been sucked out of them? Amen. I don't go to no parties. They ain't jumping off. You know? Amen. Even a birthday party for little kids. The high clowns. Amen. Even there they have a jumping castle. The kid don't quite get it until he finds out this is really my birthday. Amen. What are you saying? What connection does that have to do with the text? Everything. Because Jesus' ministry is predicated upon the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. He didn't have to say that. He couldn't help but say that. Why? It was prophesied some 600 years earlier. That's why he goes straight to Isaiah 61 and he reads about what Isaiah said about him some 600 to 700 years earlier. And then Jesus says, now this is going down right now in your presence. Spirit. What have we learned about the Spirit? Number one, he indwells. You ought to know that by now. John 14:26. Not only does he indwell, while he's in there, amen, if he's in there, and I'm not talking about in the pews, I'm talking about in you and in me. He's doing three things. He's teaching. Isn't that right? John 14:26, when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he would teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have revealed to you. Is that in your Bible? Not only is he a teacher, but he's a testifier. Amen. He bears witness. John 15:26, again, and notice, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will testify about who? Not you. If there's a spirit in there that keeps talking about you, it's the wrong spirit. You know, we get the Holy Spirit, we want everybody to look at us. And you ain't done nothing. You ain't done nothing. Now the Spirit testifies about Jesus. Amen. And if you full of the Spirit, then you ought to be full of Jesus. Full of the love of Jesus. Full of the character of Jesus. Full of the conduct and the conversations. That's how they're going to know. That's why Jesus told those disciples in John 17, you know, a new commandment I give you. Amen. Amen. That you do what? Love. Watch this now. It's new because it requires love, reciprocal love like I love. We ain't going to be loving like you used to love. Notice what he said. By this all men. By what?
Love.
And love is one of the first manifestations of the Spirit's presence in your life. You can walk around waving the Holy Ghost hand if you want to, but if ain't no love in there, you're just waving. You're probably waving bye-bye to your enemies, and Jesus says, love them. Let me tell you something. Do you really want the Spirit in there? It confronts, it convicts, and it consoles us. So he's a testifier. And then thirdly, my last sermon on that one point. Amen. Because I got six more sermons on two major points. So we're not going. We're going to hold the Spirit out. We're going to ride it out. We're going to ride it out to the end of the year. Somebody says, I wish we'd move on from the Holy Spirit. No, we're going to move you on. Say amen. Because only spiritual-minded folk will hang out with the Spirit. Everybody else going to get ghosts. Leave. I've been over in mid-city preaching. Different population over there. You got to speak their language. Now go quickly to John 16, and let's look at verse number 13. Let's work with the text. Now each time you come to service, bring your Bible. Amen. Bring a pen and some note paper or recorder and take notes. Okay, because I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse, and I'm going to do my best to explain it, and then we're going to talk about application. That's what we do in expository preaching. Step number one is observation. What does the text say? We start with the Bible. Amen. Now, if you're going to be full of the Spirit, you have to be in the Word.
Yes, sir.
And we got a lot of Holy Ghost folk walking around here, ain't got no Bible nowhere in them. So they can make up anything. You know, child, I just hold the presence of the Lord. Well, where is that file? Amen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's good.
This is not a game where we assume that emotional feelings are spiritual.
That's right. That's
amen.
Right. That's good.
Amen. Makes sense? Now watch the Bible. John chapter 16 and verse number 13, the Bible says what?
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes.
Stop. At three texts, three times, every time we get together, the Bible talks about he. Now, if you're here on Wednesday night, we're doing an extensive study of the third person of the Godhead. We are referencing now his deity, his personhood and his deity. He is a person, yet he is divine. Is that right?
Yeah.
You got a lot of folk want to be Christian, but they don't want to accept the deity of the third person of the Godhead. He's a person, and he has to be listened to. Are you listening? Look at the text. Read the text again. The Bible says what?
But when he, the
when
Spirit
he,
of truth.
When he, not she, but he. Now, let's talk about that. Usually, in the Greek text, you'll find the Spirit being in what we call the neuter gender, having neither male nor female characteristics. Okay, now don't ask me why. Don't ask me why it's recorded this way. Could it be because of how we view the Godhead? When we say Father, we speak in terms of male gender. When we say son, we speak in terms of male gender. But when we speak to the Spirit, we don't necessarily speak to he or she, but the text references he. And I wonder why. If you allow me, like Father, like Son, say amen. It's the Spirit of. Now, don't get hung up on the gender stuff, because I know we're living in a gender-sensitive society. Everybody want to fit in. Amen. But I don't want to get off of this text, but it's not up to man to determine his gender. That's God's word. That's why so folk are confused now. They don't know who they are. Well, if you need some help, you come see me. Come see me. I'm going to give you the Bible, then Sister Hawkins will give you the examination, but I'm going to give you the Bible. God made them male and female. Say amen.
Amen.
We need help. The book says when he the what?
The Spirit of truth.
He is a spirit of falsity.
Truth.
He's a spirit of lies.
Truth.
He's a spirit of ambiguity.
Truth.
Skepticism.
Truth.
Doubt. He's a spirit of truth. And if you want the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you need the Holy Spirit. Because there's some other false truths out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Wow. You know, it's a falsity that man can do his own thing.
Yeah. Right.
It's your thing. I know you know. That didn't come from God. And some of us have bought into that spirit in the church. Come and go as you please. Are you listening to me? Even your preacher is under the direction of the Spirit. I cannot preach what I like to preach, what I feel like preaching. When he, the Spirit of truth, what?
When he comes. He will guide you.
Look, there's the third thing he does. First thing, he's a what? Teacher. Second thing, he's a what? testifier. Third thing he is,
he's a guide.
When he lives in you, you're not without direction.
That's right.
Amen. That's Amen. We got believers talking about, you know, I don't know what to do. You don't get in the spirit. We talk about, we sing about the spirit.
Yeah.
Paul says, pray in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Paul says, be filled with. I figure once you fill up with it, you ought to have a sense of direction. Say amen. Lack, devoid of the Spirit's presence, you don't have direction. You won't have truth. So you are gullible now. You are susceptible to false teaching and misguidance and misdirection. And that's Satan's game. Okay, so he likes to throw you in misdirection, throw you a curve. Yeah, but the Spirit is true. How can I know? And then I know the intelligentsia, they're here. Well, what is true? And you better quit listening to Friedrich Nietzsche. Amen. Carl, you better leave them guys, them cats alone. Yeah, what a truth. And you know, this is a big important thing in humanism and secularism, especially in the academic world. Now it's in your schools. It's starting at elementary, might be even preschool now. Truth. People are speaking about truth as a guess what? Guess what they're calling truth? A non-reality. A simply an abstract idea. So in other words, they're saying there is no truth. Amen. That's what happens when you start believing lies. You dismiss truth. And now we'd rather believe a lie than accept truth. But the Bible comes along and says not only is there a truth, there is an absolute truth. Amen. Now, what we need to do is challenge the intellectuals and say, well, if it's not truth, then what is? We've already been down that road. Well, how do you define? Well, truth, and now they got something called what we call relative truth, you know, or should I say situation ethics. And that is truth is whatever it needs to be at the moment. I need it to be what it needs to be. But don't nobody know who determines what it's supposed to be. Say amen.
Amen.
So if I lie to you and I need to, that's the truth of the matter for me. It's true for me. Just listen to that foolishness. So you'll never, ever really get to thank God for the Holy Spirit. The book says when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. Just a moment. The reason you don't have truth, you haven't let it come. You haven't accepted the truth. I'm talking about church folk now. Because we love to tell people the truth. Amen. Amen. The truth. We love it. I'm going to tell you the truthers. Nah. Just tell me what Jesus said.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want your spin on it.
Yeah,
look at the text. That's why we use scripture and not our emotions as a basis of establishing fact. Now, some things you can't argue with.
Right.
I mean, you probably could, but I wouldn't advise that you argue with the text. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, guess what he's going to do?
He will guide.
He's going to guide. Anybody lost this morning?
Come on.
Anybody ambivalent?
Mercy.
Anybody in doubt? Anybody know anything about skepticism? Let me tell you something. I'm a man of faith.
Yeah.
Satan confronts people of faith more than he do people with no faith. Let me tell you something. I know what I need. I need to be reminded every day about the Spirit's presence. Because he comes and he'll visit me. And he'll tell me that stuff you preaching ain't working. Let's look at your church. Look at your people. Look at you. You sit long enough.
Real talk.
It's like, man, you know, man.
Real talk.
You can't argue with the evidence. You can't argue with the evidence. You mean tell me you've never doubted whether or not this stuff is real? Have you read the story about a woman getting pregnant and never met a man? Because that's not the story you would sit around Starbucks and talk about. People would think you crazy. And then why would you want to embrace a God that does that kind of stuff? You believe that? Do you not know some intellectuals today are rationalizing their way out of scripture? I even heard our president. You know, he's okay with some truth, but he ain't into the miracle stuff. Yeah. See the Noah's Ark thing and the creation of man? You know, those are narratives, those are stories. But then you know you wanna pick Jesus when you need him.
Yeah, man.
you want to politicize my Lord.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You take him all or just leave him alone.
Right.
And the greatest threat to truth is a Christian that don't even believe in it.
That's right.
I used to think Satan was a threat, but he didn't left most of us alone.
Yeah.
Because we are defenseless against our own truth anyhow. Look what we do. We don't even believe the truth. This making any sense? See, I've been working on me. See, this spirit thing's been working on me. Do you believe, Vincent? Are you sold out on what the scriptures teach? Because if you're not, you are a vehicle to be used by God to become faithless. That's why folks start up here and end in the back. People of faith move to God.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't move away from God.
That's right.
But see, Satan knows what he's doing. I hate to give him credit, but he's a genius.
He got it.
And no wonder the Bible says that he will deceive the very elect of God.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Let me tell you something. If he would run up on Jesus with the Bible,
wouldn't
make you think he won't run up on us.
Lord,
so how do we know? Can we know? Is there something called truth? Absolute truth? Can we be sure? Those are questions. I don't know about you. I need a religion. I need a faith that's rock solid.
Yeah.
That's legit. That's been tried. I need a tried stone.
Amen.
Cut out
of
the cornerstone.
Lord,
that's legit. That's why Paul would say, I know.
I know
in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able. That's the kind of truth I want.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be him hawing around talking about, well, I mean, that's a good question. Did he really get out of the grave? You know, I hadn't thought about that. Just listen to that. And that's what Satan does.
Yeah,
he'll catch you. He'll catch you when you think you're bumping real good. He'll say, have you ever thought about that, huh? You haven't thought about it. Where is he? You ain't seen him. See, the spirit comes along.
Yeah,
and only the spirit can attack these other spirits.
Yeah.
That's why we need. That's why the Bible says when he comes, he gonna convict. He gonna confront you, Vince. He gonna confront your doubt, convict your sin, and then he's gonna get close to you and help guide you through. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Yes, he'll do that. He can guide you out of that stuff you in, that stuff you stuck in. That stuff you stuck in, you stuck. The Holy Spirit can help you with that. But you see, you don't really want him. Because one of the first things he's gonna do is gonna have you get your life cleaned up.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We don't want to get rid of that man. We don't want to get rid of that woman, that job, that boat, that thing that keeps me from God. Anything that keeps you from God ain't from God.
Yeah.
And when you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you'll call anything a blessing.
Yeah.
What kind of father turns around and blesses you to stay away from him? You know, whether you,
ouch.
I'm going to get to my sermon. We got a teacher's meeting. I'm going to get to my sermon. Let me tell you. You need guidance.
Wow.
And it's kind of sad today. We got believers. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to serve God. They don't know what to give God. It's just, I'm saying, what in the world have you been doing?
Yeah.
And I see the problem. And that's why we got to just slow down.
Yeah.
And teach line upon line, precept upon precept,
yeah.
Here a little and there a little.
Yeah.
Gotta cut it straight so they can see it.
Yes.
Say amen, because I don't want it said on my watch. Well, I didn't see it. Well, if you don't, that's not on Vincent.
Yeah. Heard that.
I'm gonna cut it straight the best I know how and lay it out there. And it's up to you.
That's right.
So the Spirit is the guide, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, where's he guiding you?
Just
a minute. And this is important. He don't work to guide you on your agenda. See, like, we live in a culture that wants God on our terms.
Right.
We need him to get a job. We need him to get a loan. We need him to get through.
Right.
Amen. Listen. And so we wind up using God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
For our own benefit. And then when he don't respond, then you claim he ain't there.
Wow.
Or some teachers will say, well, you ain't believing enough.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Believing enough?
Right.
How much is enough? How do you measure enough belief? The Bible only talks about one faith, and that's the ability to believe in something you can't figure out. Why? Because it's based upon evidence. You got a minute? Let me make my point. Look at what the text said. He'll guide you into all truth.
Uh-huh.
Don't go there, but in John chapter 6, Jesus says some tough stuff to his disciples.
Yeah.
And the book says, and many of them turned and walked no more with him. And then my good friend and first cousin Peter says, Lord, well, we're not going nowhere. Well, Jesus wanted to know from them, you know, are you going to also walk off and leave me? And Peter says, well, to whom shall we go? Very good question. Very good. Notice, he didn't say unto whom, what shall we go? But to whom shall we go? And then notice his position. First of all, he says, we believe and are sure. Watch this now. Number one, that you're the Christ. Now watch the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you about who Jesus is. Amen. We believe, not only do we believe in the deity of the Son of God.
Yeah.
And then not only do we believe in it, we're sure about it. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the surety? Well, you're here. Watch this. And we've seen you work. Look what the Spirit's doing. He's giving you evidence. Evidence become fact. Fact become the foundation for confidence. Yeah. Confidence is the courage to stand there. Like you know you ain't scared. Say, man. Let me give you an example. You missed the theological example. Let me give you a hillbilly example. All right. You got a baseball bat at the house. Say, man. And you keep it by the door. Say, man. I'm just saying. This is just an example. I was gonna say something else, and because you got that baseball bat, you open up all the doors of the house. Leave them open all night, midnight. Amen. And then we'll lay down and go to sleep, but every now and then you wake up and see if that bat is still there. You know what that bat is? That's the evidence. That's the evidence that you got the confidence to go upside somebody's head and come through those doors. Now watch this. Take away the bat. You're going to lock up everything in the house. Say amen. And then lock yourself in your bathroom. Because you don't have any. Am I making sense here? Man, the Spirit of God guides us to the evidence that produces the facts, that gives us the confidence and the courage now to stand there. So when Peter says, to whom we go, we're not going anywhere. Why? We believe and are sure that you are the Christ. Where you get that from? Spirit. See, when the Spirit works with you, it's not an emotional feeling for your benefit. Hey, you understand that? Because you're going to see in just a few months that one of the greatest demonstrations of the presence of the Spirit of God is the quality of love that you have and the joy and the peace that's in your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I want to trust him. I trust him. I just don't trust y'all. Now, I've rationalized having my back.
Uh-huh.
Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got the Bible for the believer, and the bat for the batty. Say amen. And look at the Spirit. The Spirit confronted me last week. Psalms division chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you, O Lord, you, O Lord, will watch over me in safety. And I'm asking myself, well, why you got all this stuff around here, man? You come around there, I have knives tonight, but I'm a Texas boy. They're just really oversized toothpicks. Don't pay them no mind.
Uh-huh.
And therein lies the contradiction.
Wow.
Lord, I want to.
I want to.
I want to trust you.
Wow.
I want to believe. I want to know that you're there.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me that I keep depending on my flesh?
Yeah.
Why can't I have complete confidence in what you say?
Yeah.
Then it hit me. Maybe you don't have the Spirit in there, Vincent. Spirit of God, listen. Listen to me. Spirit of God brings down anxieties about stuff out there. Instead of trusting in the Holy Spirit, we loading up. And we even doing it in the church. You know, the Spirit of God would teach you to suffer. It'll teach you to yield your will and obey his word. The Greek word guide here in this text comes from a word that really means to take control of. I kind of knew that, but I didn't know that. It's hard to give up control.
Yeah. Talk, man.
Any control freaks in the house? Or am I the only one? And this, man, even when I send you to do something, I gotta make sure you.
Yeah.
Forgive me. Any micromanagers in the house?
Yeah.
Give a person an assignment, but you gotta come behind them. And now you're micromanaging God. You go into the house of prayer, you pray in the spirit and come out asking, well, you think he's going to do it? And then you want to help him do it? The word guide here means for him to override your system. I called it Wednesday night being carjacked.
Wow.
You know, when you get carjacked, you don't get to stay in the car. I'm just saying. I know that's a bad example. Forgive me. But that ain't how that crime works.
No, that's not how it works.
Hey, and they don't ask you, may I have your keys?
Right.
What they do, they catch you slipping.
Uh-huh.
Then they run up on you and snatch you in the car. That's what the Holy Ghost needs to do to some of us. Because our personalities won't allow for us to yield. So we gotta be jacked.
Well, you teach.
Bring him under control. How many people in here are out of control?
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't admit it.
Yeah.
See, we think the folk out there are out of control. Yeah, but when you're not listening to the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and when you're telling God what you're gonna do, you're not under control. You're out of control. See, this is the problem passage. It's one thing to have him to teach and to testify, but now the book says when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he gonna guide. No, and then notice where he gonna guide you.
It's all true.
No, he ain't gonna guide you to do what you wanna do. He gonna have you put down your iPad, your iPhone, and all your other electronic stuff that runs your world, and he gonna carjack you. And he got to move in, and one of the first things he do, he got to walk around in your cranium, that's the head, and then go into the right cerebral, that's the thing on the right side, and go into all them rooms and get the junk out. How do you know? Because you are your junk. We are what we eat. You put garbage in there all week long, garbage out.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you can come to church and just cuss everywhere. It means nothing to you. And people, and sometimes folk, they're not even surprised at our character anymore. But that's just what he just liked there. Wait a minute. And then we settle for demonic behavior. You know, and then you don't have to be using bad language to be ungodly. Just don't listen to God. That's not being spiritual. That's not being spiritual. See, this stuff is bothersome. I confess I'd like to go preach something else, but I'm here. And look what the book says. He gonna guide you
into all truth.
Into all truth. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
He gonna guide you into. Now, what's truth? Good question. You smart people, what's truth? Well, it's just, it's whatever you choose it to be. That's the answer. What's truth? It's abstract. It's elusive. Well, what spirit is that? That ain't the Holy Spirit. Because the book says he will do what?
Gotcha.
Anybody need some truth this morning?
Yeah.
And the first thing he reveals truth about is Jesus.
Yeah.
In other words, you got to have an established system of truth to embrace truth. And then the second thing he reveals truth about is you and me. And then we got a problem. So now, look, he reveals truth about Jesus, then about you. What about the other people? No. The Spirit has to do his work in you. Yeah. So he reveals Jesus, and then he reveals the truth about you. That's interesting, because in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and then someone get John chapter 14 and verse 6. If you do it quickly, we'll quit here in about 5 minutes. But in John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus confronts some religious folk who were thinking that they were connoisseurs of the truth. They were the scribes and the Pharisees. You know them. They know all the rules and regulations.
Yeah.
They got the manual on truth, but they don't practice truth. And Jesus said to those Jews in John chapter 8 and verse 32, if you do what?
Continue in my word.
Notice what he says. If you stay where?
In my word.
In my word. The Holy Spirit guides you where?
In the word.
Into the truth. Now, that's what's the truth? If you continue in my word, you're what?
My disciples.
You're
indeed.
My disciples in what?
Indeed.
Indeed. And you what?
Know the truth.
You will know. Listen, Jesus says if you get where?
In the word.
In the word. Spirit says if you get in the word, you will know
truth.
Truth. Well, the question is, what is truth? Yeah, we have to answer that question. And you're getting ready to get the answer,
yeah.
A biblical answer. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 6 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says what? And the word became flesh. He's talking about, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Now you people in the Bible, if you've been in the Bible, you know he's talking about Jesus, right? He's talking about Jesus. The word became what?
Flesh.
And did what? That's interesting. Now, he dwells, and the Spirit dwells, and the word dwells.
Yeah.
And notice where they dwell. They dwell in you. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ do what?
Dwell
in your Bible.
In you.
Dwell on the bookshelf.
In you.
Dwell in your hand.
In you.
It dwells in your mind. You understand that?
That's good.
Look at John 1:14. The word became flesh
uh-huh.
and did what?
Dwelt among
and
us.
Dwelt among us, and we what?
Beheld his glory.
John says what?
We beheld his
we
glory.
We saw his glory.
Uh-huh. The glory of
the only begotten Son, full of
grace and truth.
Full of grace.
And truth.
We usually like to stop there because we like the grace. Saved by grace, child. Well, that ain't all the Bible said. Grace and truth.
Well, drop down to verse 17, same chapter.
For the law was given.
The law
Moses
came.
By Moses. But grace and truth.
But what?
Grace.
There it is again. Why is grace and truth together? And they're all wrapped up in Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
You can't claim to have Jesus and have no grace and don't want the truth.
That's good stuff, man.
What kind of religion are you in? Well, you can pick an, that's right, smorgasbord religion. It's a buffet. You pick what you want. I'll take mercy.
Wow.
I'll take grace. Bypass forgiveness. Get that next week. Little dab of love. No, you can't do Jesus like that.
Wow.
Grace and truth. The law came by Moses. But grace and truth came how?
Jesus Christ.
By who?
Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. John 17:17, quickly. Quickly, and then John 14 and 16, John 17:17, the Bible says, get these scriptures down, John 17:17, the Bible says what?
Sanctify
them how?
Through that truth.
Through what?
That truth.
You can't get clean without the truth.
Yeah.
Sanctification is a divine process. You're not clean enough to clean up yourself.
Right.
Say that again.
Right.
Amen. Everybody riding dirty. Say amen, something to say. Is riding dirty? You got dirt on you. I know you claim you can't see it, but you got dirt on you.
Yes.
Amen. And listen, I don't care how many showers you take. I do not care how much hand sanitizer you have in your purse.
Right.
You can walk around here with a white glove. They're going to get dirty.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of God and the truth
yeah.
works better than Tide.
Yeah.
Clorox.
Uh-huh.
You get it in there. 24/7, 365, you're going to get cleaned up. And when you get cleaned up, you look up
yeah.
and you stop acting. Sanctify them how? Through thy truth.
Thy word
is truth. Jesus is truth personified. Look at the text. When he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will guide you where? Into all. And the guide there is Jesus. Can I separate Jesus, the Spirit, and his word? If you're here this morning, dirty, come on down. Welcome home. We all are. But I'm not selling for the dirt. I want to get clean.
Amen.
I don't want to have a dirty mind. You know what a dirty mind is? You know what goes on in a dirty mind? I know you know. Because the moment you claim you ain't dirty, you're lying. And that's dirty. Matter of fact, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking about this. You're just a dirty liar. No wonder David was saying Psalms 51, verse 10, Lord, you, I need you to create in them, in her. He didn't say that. He wasn't talking about Bathsheba. He was talking about himself. I need you, God, to create invention. What kind of heart? A clean heart. God says, I'll do it, boy, but you got to get in my word.
I can clean up that stuff in your head, man. Hey, listen, I can clean you up and make you feeling depressed about who you are. I can clean up the suicide ideation. I can restore some life to your deadness. I don't know about you. The mind is the enemy of mind. And if we're not for the presence of the power of God to help me with me, that's why I ask God, whatever you do, don't leave me with me. I need your spirit every day. Are you here this morning? You're tired of fighting you? I'm so tired of faking to be. Listen, I'm just dying to Vincent now. Love it, leave it, or deal with it. Your choice. I'm not talking about you, Sister. I'm just talking to my friends up here on the front pew here. That's not for you, baby girl. Baby girl, that's not for you. Yeah, I got to get to the house. God can clean. He can do some stuff, man. If you're here, I'm down to the application of the Word of God for daily living. Amen. I'm down to that. Because we have presented a false picture of Christianity to a world that has rejected Christ. And they're rejecting Christ because of our false witness.
Right.
Matter of fact, atheists have more integrity. At least they believe there is no God. We lie and tell you we do, and we still don't. And it's shown. Spirit doesn't do that. If you're here and you want your life to be different, and you know, you just quit manipulating the variables. You're doing a poor job. We're not going to tell you because we base stuff on human success. Just ask God. I don't want to be dirty. I want my mind cleaned up. I want my heart right. But I live in a dirty world. And every day, I'm confronted with this dirt. And how can we help a dirty world get clean if we won't let the Spirit guide, have control over thinking, behavior, and acting?
Yes.
I know it's risky business, but until you yield your will and obey His word, what keeps showing up will keep leaving out of here.
Yeah.
And why keep investing in a religion that ain't working? That's my challenge to you. Man, if it ain't working, I'm just like that. If it ain't working, you know, get out. If you can't ride the horse, get off of it. Can't drive the car, get out. Before somebody take it from you. If you're here and you're serious about your faith, listen to me. Let Him in. Let Him take control. Because you're wasting your time by not yielding yourself. You leave more frustrated when you walked in than you blame people. Mad at the mailman, mad at the paper boy, you're just angry. You need your life cleaned up. Indecisive, won't make a decision. Man, I don't know. No, Stan, you make a lot of decisions. You make them all the time. Make one for Jesus. Because He's coming back.
Oh, yes.
There's a good part. When you get to the book of the end of the book of Revelation, after He says, he that hath a spirit, let him hear what the Spirit, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. The next phrase is, Lord Jesus, come quickly. He's coming back. Amen. And I plan to be waiting on it. They were limping with a bad leg, one eye and a heel missing, but I'm holding on to my Jesus. Because I know this body, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, He says, it's going to be changed. I'm going to put off the terrestrial, put on the celestial, and be carried off into glory. Banking on my Jesus. That's all I got. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Savior, and His name is Jesus. And you must embrace Him by faith. Embrace Him based on the fact that He is the Son of the living God, according to the Word. Believe that with all of your heart. And then make up your mind. You can make your mind up. You really can. You just don't want to. You like being ambivalent. Well, I'm not sure. I know when you see a pair of shoes you don't call nobody. And whether the money ain't in the bank or not, you claim it's there, you want them shoes. Hey, man. You get what you want, but
But Jesus is going to give you a gift. If you embrace him by baptism, you'll get a gift called the Holy Spirit. And he'll help you with your life. He'll take over. And if you're like me, I need him to take over. Because I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I'd like to put on the front. You know, most we are, you know, we big front folk. We make folk believe we know what we're doing. Anybody with any sense know better. Amen. You don't know what you're doing. You need divine help. Amen. And that spirit will fill you. He'll confront, clean you up, and make you useful. And then you can really start smiling again. Amen. 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 Hawthorne's really getting better. Maybe next year we'll have to ask for no smiles. No smile. We won't have a smiling session. It'll be natural. Well, and we'll know that the Spirit of God is there. Amen. Amen. All right. If you're here and you need to make a change, make your change right now. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Change right now as we together stand and sing.